This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I heard a lot of you discussing it. Like I said, I just couldn't be here, obviously, dealing with serious family stuff. But it pained me not to be able to be here and chime in on the Giants, especially with your take. So I was confused at how you were confused, BT, as to the Giants' MO. For me, this is exactly what I wanted to see. Forget what Jackson Dart would be aside, but you and I both discussed it on Thursday, I think, saying, how would you rank the quarterbacks outside of Cam Ward? And we both said that we both like Jackson Dart
and Milroe.
Those are the two guys. So for the Giants to be able to stand pat at three and get their guy, Abdul Carter, and trade back in and finally show some guts and direction from Joe Shane and Dable. Hey, you picked a quarterback. Congratulations. It took you 4 years, but they finally did it. I could not be more thrilled with what the Giants did. Again, forget what Dart's going to become, but the idea now that they got the stud player in Carter and they got their quarterback, that's the one that they identified. They went up and got him, and now we'll see how it plays out the rest of the way. But I love the I don't think they could have had a better first round.
Listen, I think in totality, Giants did have a really good weekend. You went into what they needed. I remember saying this a week or so ago. Obviously, D-line. Obviously, a quarterback. And at some point, maybe a little reinforcement on the offensive line. But specific to the quarterback thing. See, I like Dart, as we discussed.
Right.
I was confused by, I'm not sure how convicted they were in that move. Because everything else that they did leading up to it said that they wanted to go in a different direction. I felt like on some level that they were just checking a box. And when you think about this, now that doesn't mean that they didn't get the right guy. They may have. But Dable wanted him and Shane wanted Sanders. So, and there was apparently some real, you know, strong opinions from each person, which I respect, on who they valued more. So automatically the room was a bit split. And, you know, I know the Rams were a threat, so you had to make that trade up there. I just feel like the Giants I don't want to say reacted to the noise necessarily, but I'm going to say it again, kind of checked the box. All right, everybody knows we got to get a quarterback.
Yeah.
You like him, I like him, let's take him.
See, I don't know the inner workings of it, but for me, if they would have stood pat, let's say, in the second round and took Tyler Shuck, let's say somebody moved up aggressively, the Rams took Dart or whatever, and they took Chuck. Then I could see your thinking. I still would have been, okay, at least they got a quarterback, but I could have seen that it was maybe just a check-the-box type move. And if Shane really did like Shador Sanders, he had to be kicking himself the fact that he could have had him in, you know, fourth or fifth round, whatever it was, where he ended up going fifth round to the Browns. More on him in just a bit. But the fact that they showed conviction in trading up to get a guy that, whoever loved him, Dable or not, a guy that we thought was one of the better prospects in the draft, that to me, I love. Now we can finally, in year four, evaluate them. The one thing that I did hear that I agree with you on, this is not, we should be looking at this as it's year one or year two with Shane and Dable.
You have to.
Forget about that it's now year four. This is essentially year one or year two. Forget about everything that's happened in the past, and even I will raise my hand. Forget about last year's draft. We can reevaluate and see how they would have gone had they taken Bo Nix or Penix or McCarthy versus Jackson Dart. But for this year, it is Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston. Dart is essentially going to redshirt. I mean, that's how the structure is. They think they're going to go out there and win games. I don't believe it. I need to see it, but that's what they have to do. And then the following year, Jackson Dart should be starting week one, and then they have to win games. So everything is in place. The direction is in place. There are no more excuses. I don't want to hear, well, tough schedule, well, this or that. No, they are built to win now while also having their franchise quarterback in waiting for next year.
You know, I love the defense. I think the defense has a chance to be top 10. I mean, Abdul, and we get to the LT number stuff a little bit later as well, but Abdul Carter is going to be ridiculous, which will further unlock some of these other guys and just take them out of, you know, second and three, third and two. They just get run. The ball was run down their throat last year. They could not lean on their best weapons, which are pass rushers. Now that will change because you've got more of a defensive line in the interior, and I think the Giants' defense is going to be great. But here's the other thing that I'm conflicted with from a Jackson Dart perspective.
Right.
How's he getting some reps? I know he's not playing right away. You going to cut Jameis?
No. Well, no, okay. I think it's by design that they're going to have him just sit and learn. And
okay, so that's fine, but then you can't expect him to take the ball next year and just be your starter.
Well, that's
if he's the number two, I'm fine with that. That's what I mean. The plan seems scattered. Let's try to trade for Stafford. Let's gauge Aaron Rodgers' interest level.
Let's trade for Cam Ward.
Yep. Let's try to trade for Cam Ward. There were four or five things, and that's okay that transpire because you do your due diligence. But then I can't sit back and say they are enamored with Jackson Dart when they tried to do multiple things to get somebody instead of Jackson Dart.
Maybe either way they got their guy, and it's on them to identify the right guy that was available to them. They got the second pick of a quarterback in this year's draft, okay? People have had great success with picking the second guy off the board.
Not everybody's second. You mean that it actually literally going second, not the second projected.
Exactly
I got you.
But they took the second quarterback off the board later in the first round. So not only did they get almost the consensus best player in the draft, they could have had Milroe or Shock or Sanders. They chose Jackson Dart. So to do what they did to get Carter and Dart, I thought was a great first round. But now the hard part, and I'm one of these people. I know you were saying about defensive identity. TK, I heard a lot of people saying you don't get identity in the offseason. That's something that develops in season on the field. I thought their identity was going to be defensive last year. It was not. One player, as great as I think Carter can be, is not going to change that. That means it's on everybody else. Burns, who they brought in, the young secondary that continues to develop, Thibodeau while he's still here, all those guys. Like, I'm not sold that that's their identity. I'll find out when they play. So they're going to be evaluated, Chain and Dable, on this year with the draft and the players that they have as far as wins and losses go.
Yeah.
And then Dart, the evaluation is going to come the next year down the road. There may be, maybe Milroe pops and he's the stud, and then we second guess the job. Maybe it was Shock, maybe it was Sanders. Either way, now we know definitively Shane and Dable, however they got there, they chose their guy in Jackson Dart. Now they have to develop him. Otherwise, they're going to be out.
Yeah, no, listen, I don't disagree with that sentiment here. I just want to know how they're going to develop him when you have Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston here taking all the oxygen out of the quarterback room and taking every single snap in practice.
So what would you... But
I would cut Jameis.
But they're also trying to win that, so you don't want
I would cut Jameis Winston. And I like Jameis. He's cheap. I think he's a gregarious. That he's good for the quarterback room. He's just a... I think he's a good teammate. But where is Jackson Dart going to actually say, not number one, he also, I was going to say hike. He doesn't even say hike. He just claps, as we learned, which is also a little interesting.
But maybe it's a developmental thing with him where they want him to sit in that room, absorb everything for a full year.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that that's their thinking here, but for a guy, and I'm not clowning him. I mean, I don't love it. I would prefer somebody who's more vocal. I'm not saying he can't get there. I think he's got very good physical tools. I think Jackson Dart's good. Again, he was the second favorite player. I like him. You and I both liked him.
Right. You would have taken Melrose. And by the way, I'm not me too. I probably would have taken Milroe.
But it was close.
Okay,
for me.
But Dable, I just like the athleticism of Milroe.
He ran a 4.37 40, and he's 225 pounds. I couldn't ignore that.
Now Dart fits the mold of what Dable wants.
Yep.
And I'm not going to quabble.
Me neither. And by the way, he played like 45 games. He started 13 games in the last 3 years at Ole Miss, and he played six or seven games at USC. So he's fairly well seasoned. I like that.
Now develop unlike
Mark Sanchez coming out of USC and some other guys that were just, Blake Bortles didn't play a ton, and some other guys that just weren't ready to play and they got thrown into the fire too early and it didn't work out. And there's other names that we could obviously throw out there. But again, think about this, guys. This is not a knock on the Giants. It's because I think they had an awesome draft. I understand what they did. But I'm allowed to say, good job. But I could also say at the same time, but I'm still a little confused at now what's next here. Because for a guy who has never communicated verbally from the quarterback position ever in his life, that's okay, provided he's getting reps. If he's on the sideline watching Jameis at the number two, he's not getting reps.
Right, but what gives them a better chance to win this year? Jameis as the backup or Dart?
Well, but
that's
now
why they're trying to do both things.
Well, now we get into the question of how do you thread the needle and navigate that? It's not an easy answer, which is why it's a very imperfect situation. I think Russell Wilson's better than you think. I don't think he's a star. I know that those days are done. I think that he's better and probably a little bit more viable than even maybe a lot of Giant fans think. I think the Giants' defense has a chance to be lights out. So, but I know the schedule is tough, blah, blah.
Well,
but I think the Giants will be a much more functional team this year. So And by the way, they lost five games last year by 3 points. Right. We went through this. Yeah, one in overtime, 3-3, 5, a couple, 7. Like, and the offense was a 0. So if the offense is a 5 out of 10 or a 5.5, which I think it will be with Russell, and now the defense, I think the Giants are going to be pretty interesting and very competitive this year, which means Dart's not getting on the field, which is okay. But again, and I don't want to do this for 3 hours, he's not going to practice, but I need a guy, if he's the future, he's got to get some practice reps.
I love it, BT, because finally, it took 4 years, but finally, we have a direction. This should have happened in year one, if not at the very least year two.
Yeah.
What was the Giants' direction for the last few years? Cater to Daniel Jones, that's it. Where most of us knew he was dead in the water anyway. So that was it. Now at least it feels like, okay, well, we've moved on from the Daniel Jones prior regime. It took 3 years. Now there's the direction. Now, with whether that direction works or not, that's a whole different story. But at least we know that it is clearly on Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. Everybody said he had a great draft last year. Everybody loves the draft this year. We'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear any excuses. They better win and win at a competitive level, meaning postseason, compete for a postseason spot this year with Russell Wilson in place and that great defense that can't miss, that's the team identity. Good. Go out there then and win some games and be a playoff team. And then next year, start the development of Jackson Dart.
Let me throw one situation at you before we get to these calls. Giant fans ready to jump in. And again, they seemingly did a lot of really good things over the weekend. I think they had a great draft. But Russell Wilson is not playing 17 games. He's not going to make it physically. That's just my opinion. He has not been healthy for a while from week 1 through week 18. So that's not going to happen again. So let's say when he gets hurt, and I hope it's not catastrophic, but it's going to be a groin or a calf. He's going to miss some time. And then Jameis gets in there.
Yeah.
If Jameis is still on the team, which I think he will be, even though I might not, I think they'll keep him on there. And Jameis throws a couple of pick sixes. You know that they are going to be clamoring for Jackson Dart. And at that point, to me, what the Giants do from there is even more pivotal and will influence the future more than actually deciding to make a trade and get Dart. Because if they mess that part up, then it changes everything about how I perceive them, not just the season, but their plan for Jackson Dart.
It will be the end of them. If the Giants don't get this right, Shane and Daboll are gone. But at least now we know. That goes for not only the development of Dart, but for the handling of Dart, to your point. If it were me, the way that they have everything in place, it's clearly Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston. I am not Jackson Dart is not setting foot on the field. Under the way that they have built this thing, I would not go with Jackson Dart this year. It wouldn't have been my ideal plan coming in. Nothing they have done would have been my ideal plan coming in. I'm happy what they did in the first round of the draft, but I would have done it totally different, and I would have done it years ago. But in their setup, I don't think they could throw Jackson Dart out there this year. I would wait till next year to do that.
I am very, very curious to see if they've got the restraint to do that. Because
I think,
you know, we're sitting here late April. Hey, Jackson Dart shouldn't play. Hey, we're Knicks, Yanks, Mets. We got other stuff going on.
You know it's
going
to be a conversation.
Well, what happens when those first, the sea of boos overtake MetLife Stadium if Russell gets hurt or Winston throws a pick six or whatever other scenario that's not necessarily favorable to the Giants' offensive production inevitably unfolds. What do they do when the noise starts to permeate the building?
Well, let me ask you this. What happens if Russell Wilson isn't good this year, whether it's injury or not?
Uh-huh.
What happens if that defense that's supposed to be their identity now, what happens if that's not as good as everybody expects and the Giants are a 4-5 win team or whatever you want to say down the stretch?
Yep. I still have to bring them back.
Okay.
Otherwise, what you did the other day is a complete waste of time.
But again, that's how you leave yourself. They think that they're better than, at least I think, and I think most people, but they have to go out there and show it. Their plan only works. It's all set up now. Mm. It only works if they have some modicum of success this year, meaning 8, 9, anything above that type wins. And then you say, okay, well, we built this. We're building toward this. Even if you want to say we're bringing Russell Wilson back for another year, but then plan the transition next year from Wilson at some point, okay, here's Jackson Dart. He's our guy.
Yeah.
But if they lose a lot this year, then I do think, to your point, people are going to be calling for Jackson Dart. People will be calling for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll to be fired. It's going to be a mess.
How itchy does the owner get? He's kind of throw out that edict. You know, what do you say? If I'm sitting here next year at this time and it's the same situation, unacceptable? Well, you might be. I think the Giants will be better than I think some people think. But if I'm wrong, there's going to be a lot of temptations to shut people up and placate some very unhappy fans. Hey, you want a quarterback? All right, let's put him in here, even if he's not. I'm not saying they will, but there will be temptation. And, when teams do that, They are trying to stifle the noise. And when you try to stifle the noise and just mute those dissenting growls of frustration, you sink yourself. And that's going to be tough for the Giants to ignore.
BT and Sal on the fan. Liam is in Yorktown. What's up, Liam?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
All right.
You know, it's been really hard watching the Giants be mismanaged for the last decade. So that's why it's really exciting to see the Giants have the best draft of any team in the NFL this year. And it's because they drafted Jaxson Dart. I mean, Dart was the hot ticket to party, and the Giants went home with her at the end of the night. And, you know, everybody would have wanted some, but, you know, it doesn't really matter about the future. We're just trying. The Giants got the hot chick at the party, and it's really awesome. And we can bask in that glory.
Sometimes the hot chick has an STD. You never know.
Oh, jeez.
You never know. It's the truth.
Thanks for the call, Liam.
I didn't know how to insert that. Yeah, great. You went home with the hot chick at the party. All right.
I do not think the Giants had the best draft because of Jaxson Dart. I think the Giants had a great first round all-encompassing. It starts with getting Abdul Carter, for me.
Exactly.
And then getting a quarterback that they believe they could develop. Nobody has any idea. The other stuff, yeah, okay, well, oh, Cam Scadaboo, everybody's excited about him. And, yeah, the Giants have drafted tough players. Everybody says the same thing. The Jets are saying the same exact thing. What did Aaron Glenn say? We got guys that are going to change our culture and change our identity that fit what we do.
Yeah.
What we want, our brand, as the Jets are trying to rebrand. Okay, every team says that. It's never, well, the Giants pick guys that don't have, this guy doesn't have a heart. He doesn't play with passion. Like, enough with the, you know, bending over. We'll get into
the Sanders stuff and the other.
Well,
so we have to get into that
yes,
too.
But Hoff is also saying the grades for both the Jets and Giants.
Yeah.
I wouldn't look at the other stuff. You could be happy about drafting needs. The first round to me went as perfectly as it could have gone for the Giants, but we will see how it plays out. Who knows about Abdul Carter and who knows about Jaxson Dart ultimately?
If you or I were given the authority to make the Giants draft choice the other night, on number 3 overall, and we didn't spend one second in the war room, watch a second of film on all the players like they obviously did, I think we would both take Abdul Carter.
Correct.
Okay. He's going to be special. Many of us believe that. I think he's going to be special. And because of that, like, even if it was worst case, back to the point about, you know, what do you do with Dart? How do you navigate that? What if the fans are booing? What if you're not winning? What if the offense is inept? What if it's Russell Wilson not doing his job or Jameis looks awful? What do you do? I actually think, like, even as crazy as this is going to sound, even if the Giants were to go 5-12 and Abdul Carter, or even 4-13, that's ridiculous, but even 4-13 and Abdul Carter is it, they're still coming back.
Well, I think that they should come back regardless because of how they've been set up here. Because of wasting 3 years on Daniel Jones, it's almost like a restart. There's no way, this first round, as great as it may be to some people, myself included, it doesn't mean anything if Joe Shane and Brian Daboll aren't here at least two more years. 1 year with Dart as the starter, no? Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why I think that, yes, I would agree with that, but that's why I think that Mara, and I've said this many times on the show, I don't know if it was, I don't know how it was communicated. I believe, and I cannot prove this, okay, that Mara communicated to them, intimated to them, flat out told them, whatever, guys, don't draft to save your ass. Draft to build this thing out. I believe that they know. Again, I can't prove it. I'm not saying I don't know this, but I believe that they know that they're back no matter what.
My question is, what happened the last 3 years? Was that just an edict from Mara? Now, again, we're going to move on from it, but this is there's clear direction from Joe Shane and Brian Daboll what they're trying to do. We're going to build a team with veteran quarterbacks right now. We upgrade the quarterback room, try to win and be competitive, good defense. And we have a quarterback in waiting to develop. That should have happened year one or year two at the very least. It's year four. So my biggest issue was not necessarily with these two guys. It was the whole plan. And I do think that Mara was a big reason why Daniel Jones had to be here.
Exactly.
Okay.
Is part of the reason why I think he's giving him a little latitude here on the back end to figure things out. Because he knows he was heavy-handed with Daniel Jones.
Fair enough. But think about this. There's a good chance this year they're not, in fact, a playoff team. And they are a 5-6 win team. That would now be 4 years and 3 in a row. You know, the first year they made the postseason, but even that year you could poke holes in it, of course. But 3 straight years of miserable football, and you're going to bring it back again. I'm not saying it's the wrong move to, but think about what we'd be talking about here.
Well, I mean, they're in this situation for a reason. I mean, it's not a seamless mess. It is a disjointed, borderline dysfunctional at times, complete disaster. So digging out of this was never going to be easy. I feel like for the first time in a while, they've got the right shovel in their hand to do it. And I think the owners are going to let him start digging. Get out of it.
It's the same thing every year. It's so over the top. With the 25th pick, the Packers select blah, blah, blah.
No. All right,
the Packers are there. Like, everybody going nuts about, oh, okay. And I would guarantee you 95% of the people that are cheering or booing for whatever pick, but mostly cheering. All right, yeah. I just don't understand the infatuation, and I never have, with the draft from a fan's perspective as far as the emotion. Analyzing it, saying, okay, yeah, I like that pick, or learning about the player after the fact, different story.
Mm-hmm.
The reaction to cheer or go nuts or boo one way or another, it makes no sense.
Well, I mean, I think it depends on the situation. Generally, those reactions are hijacked and really not even remotely consistent with the knowledge of the dopes who are booing, because they don't really know many of these players that they react to. I can see, like, if you're a fan of a team that needs a wide receiver, and whatever market it might be, you know, you're calling your radio shows, we need a receiver, and they go out and they draft an offensive tackle. Like, okay, I could see that kind of reaction. Like, it's such contrast to what you have talked about and wanted, and everybody else that covers the draft, whether it's, you know, not even a specific type of, like, not a specific name, but the position of wide receiver, general consensus was, yeah, the Raiders, or yeah, the Titans, or yeah, the Browns, or anybody, they need a wide receiver, and then they go defensive lineman. So I sometimes it kind of gets a little hijacked in that regard, and fans, listen, they're also out there drinking, so they're obviously having a little fun, they're lathered up. The most annoying thing to me, is Mel Kiper something on the Sanders payroll? Can somebody put this guy in a straitjacket? Or maybe sports, more specifically, get rid of him from the coverage? I mean, what Mel Kiper pulled this weekend was an absolute embarrassment. And the fact that, who was it, Reese Dave? Reese tried to check him, and that's a tough spot to be in. I don't even watch ESPN's coverage anymore. I think it's horrendous. But I did see it on social media, and then I dove deeper into like 8-9 minute segments. When you're running point like Greenberg does, or like a Rich Eisen, you've got to keep control. It's not necessarily your job there that night to just bombard the audience with opinions. Like, you've got to keep the train moving, and you've got to facilitate the spots. Like, okay, now it's his turn. You're playing point guard, basically. So I thought Reese tried to do a pretty good job with that, but he just kept going back to Sanders, and it was ridiculous. And now all these takes on why Sanders was passed up, I don't get it, man. I did not think he was that good. Now, do I think he should have been in the fifth round? No, I think it was, the 144th pick. I think that's a bit ridiculous, and maybe some stuff behind the scenes, which is a different conversation amongst owners. I know that that's a popular thought, like an element of collusion here, that some owners just said, you're not taking him no matter what. I don't know. But he's better than a fifth-round pick, but he was never nearly as good as some people elevated him. If his name wasn't Sanders, if it was Tierney, I'm telling you, he's not going. There wasn't a thought that he was going to go to the Giants at number three. It was ridiculous.
But it wasn't like Colorado, and I'm not watching a ton of college football, but just the momentum. It wasn't like Colorado did nothing, and it was just because he was Deion's son. They had success. He had a tremendously high completion percentage. He was
look at the guy who he's throwing to.
Went before him. All right, fair enough. But we've seen plenty of quarterbacks that do the same thing. Like, look at some of the quarterbacks that or the wide receivers that some of these guys get to throw to. Again, I'm not breaking down all the film. I didn't personally like the one game that I made a point to watch, Shador, last year. I forget even the exact game, but I was like, eh.
Oh, was that the night game? I think
it was
that
a night game.
Three overtimes.
It was a night game.
I think I was in Dallas for the Jets Cowboys, and I remember getting, that was a big game, and I remember watching. Yeah, I think that's the night you're talking
about.
Yeah,
anyway, the point is, and I would always go athleticism. If it's not like clear cut, this guy can go through his progressions and he's a stud and got all these attributes, the default for me is ultra athleticism. So that would be one knock against Sanders as well. Plus the arrogance, the attitude, although I don't know how, I didn't get a chance to interview him, so I really don't know, but hard to believe. I don't know if it's ever happened before, that a consensus, at least at some point along the way, number two quarterback in the draft, forget about number two pick, because a lot of people had him going number two, but a consensus second quarterback in the draft, he got selected fifth or sixth in the fifth round,
mm-hmm,
to go from possible, oh, well, he may be, you know, a top five pick, to a top first round pick, to the fifth round. Something's clearly up there that does not add up.
Yeah, I think it's a few things here. I think it's his. I think it's not. I don't want to say his personality, but I do think some of his approaches during the pre-draft stuff just really turned a lot of people off where...
It would turn me off.
Me too. I mean, I don't want my quarterback walking in like that. I want my quarterback to think that he's got a pair and then right. among the biggest in the room. And like you, Tiki always just said, it's just about John Gruden would say that... I got to clean this up, so I got to make sure I say this the right way. But he would... John Gruden would want his quarterback, when he got out of the shower, to just take the towel and basically throw it down and not care who's looking at him because he's got the biggest So because he basically equates that to, you know, leading men and having confidence, whatever, or how pretty his girlfriend was. I mean, these are things that are a little odd, but I guess psychologically maybe they do apply a little bit. I don't know what the deal with Sanders is.
Well, you want somebody with confidence.
Yes, I want confidence, regardless. But I don't want an arrogance where he believes he's going to run the joint. Now, maybe that's an unfair assessment.
Or entitlement.
And yeah. Now, I've defended him in the sense I think there were some character assassinations with Shador over the last month or two that went from, you know, just a football or a presentation perspective. And I just think it was hijacked a little bit. And I defended him in that regard. But if I had the third pick, I'm not taking him. If I had the ninth pick like the Saints, I wouldn't have taken him. So I get him falling. Where he fell is a different story, but I had no problem with him falling.
How much of this do you think is NIL potential problems down the road? Meaning that if you're Shador Sanders, not only do you come from Deion Sanders, but you're getting that money and you've gotten the change and you've got the cars and you're into that life as opposed to kids who used to get drafted out of college trying to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Jamarcus Russell, one of the biggest knocks was he got to the NFL, he just cared about the money and that was it. You want somebody that's hungry and that's driven and that is passionate and that cares about performing well on his own, not just for the money and the attention and the fame.
Yeah.
And I think that now when you have the NIL stuff and these kids in college getting rich and famous more than they ever were before going to the NFL, it's like, I've already established myself. Well, really, you haven't done jack squat.
Well, see, there's not enough evidence yet because the NIL is still in its formative stage. So there's not enough players where I can say, maybe. Now, I know what you mean. It just is a general thought here. Like, yeah, if you're handed things, and if you get $3 million in NIL money, you're getting it because at that point, independent of what you might be as a pro or even how you perform collegiately, you are valued as among the best. So you've already earned it based on your play in high school or basketball, AAU, whatever it might be. Right? So it's a little bit of a shade of gray for me. But I also think that there's a lot of people who grow up with a ton of money. You don't think Peyton Manning and Eli grew up a nice... Come on, dude. You don't think... They went to Jesuit prep schools. You tell me they didn't have new cars and every trapping in life. I mean, Archie made himself a really, really good living. And look at Archie Texas. Come on.
Okay, fair enough. What do you think Peyton Manning's or Eli Manning's, you know, primary or Deion Sanders, their primary thing... When they were getting into the NFL, wasn't it to be the best player that they could possibly be? And
yes, I do. I definitely think
as
that.
As opposed
no
to
question.
Now, the social media, look at me, Instagram-driven world, coupled with the NIL and young players that want that. I mean, to be honest with you, at 20 years old, I want the different things than I want at 40 or 35 or 45, whatever. Like, it's just a different mindset. I can't blame necessarily a young kid, especially if you had that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think back then I wanted to be famous. Now it's the last thing that I want. Give me all the other stuff.
Yeah.
But you want to be you want to be driven.
Yeah.
So as a young kid, I'm sure they're all over the place, but you want to have that drive. And I think that was the one thing that I kept reading about Shador that turned teams off. It wasn't just an arrogance or whatever, which can be used properly, it can be an attribute, a good attribute. It was more the questions about how much does this guy really love football versus loving the life that a star quarterback gives you.
Understood. And when you make a draft room and it's called legendary, that's going to give fuel to those who believe that maybe you're in it partially to be a great player, partially to be a great influencer, or what I don't really know. Yeah, I mean, listen, I get it, but you're telling me, like, you know, your dad when you were younger, my dad when I was younger, you're telling me that, you know, men who were born, and moms, of course, too, but dads who were born in the 40s and the 50s back in the day, that they weren't looking at Atari when it first came up, like, dude, what the hell is my kid playing? Video game? Get out there. But, and I was always in the street playing ball, too, but I play some video games here and there. I just think that it's... And I don't love, matter of fact, I loathe the direction of society. I think that it's borderline broken. I'm worried for our future, for our kids. I'm not even talking politics, just mental health and what the emphasis on what's important, what's not. I think everything's been completely, it's busted and it's broken in my humble opinion. That's just what I happen to believe. But I also think there's a lot of kids, because it's part of their life now, that they are able to compartmentalize and juggle and aspire to be great while also putting things on the IG and not getting too wrapped up in it. There are kids who can do that. Now, there are some kids who's the moment they get in the car, hey, I went 3 for 5 and I hit 2 bombs, or I threw 97 miles an hour, or I did this, I dropped 47 points in an AAU game, and they open up their phone in the backseat of mom and dad's car, and that's all they care about. And maybe that takes a little more precedence over getting back in the lab and being better the next day. I'll grant you that. But there are a lot of kids who want to be great and really don't give a rat's ass about the phone. I got over-unders on, let's see what I think you'll find interesting. I got one on Dart. I've got one on Sanders. And then I got something else on the Giants in total. How many starts will Jackson Dart make during the 2025 regular season? What do you think they established the over-under as?
1.5.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You nailed it. 1.5 there. You would go?
Under.
I think I'd have to go over.
Just because it's so low. Yeah, I mean, think about what has to happen. You'd have to have both. And I think even if Wilson and Jameis got hurt, and that's the only way this is even a conversation, I think they'd go with Tommy DeVito.
I mean, they're going to still hold on to Tommy?
They're probably going to practice squad him.
Yeah, probably. Unless somebody snatches him up.
I don't know how that works, but then they signed him to a contract. Can't they just move him to the practice squad?
I thought they did. I don't know about the transferability. I don't want to speak out of school there. But, yeah, no, I basically get your point. They're going to move mountains to make sure he doesn't go out there. That's something I would probably stay away from because it's so low I can't justify betting the under. And based on what I think you and I both think that they are pretty motivated to do, not play him, I can't bet the over. All right, how many starts will Shedeur Sanders make for the 2025 Browns in the regular season?
Curious what this number is, because I would have not 4.5.
2.5.
Okay. Wow, okay.
You hit the over? That's a pretty lame quarterback room.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. But it's lame, but there's a lot of options.
I know.
Flacco.
Uh-huh.
Who's the kid that they drafted? Gilbert?
What's his name?
Yeah. Hoff, what was the name you were saying before?
They got 4 guys.
Yeah. And now Shedeur. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Gabriel? Talking about Gabriel?
I'm sorry. Yeah, what I call him. Yep. Gilbert. Gabriel. Mm-hmm. Right. So Flacco, Pickett, Gabriel, and Shedeur Sanders.
I feel like he's going to get maybe over there. I mean, think about this. Imagine if this was just a personality thing. And imagine if he comes in and, you know, he's a little humbled and, you know, he shows early that he's got some aptitude. I mean, it's not that nuts.
Do you think it's now, after all that happened over the weekend, you factor in the prank call situation?
Oh, God.
You think it's easier to root for Shedeur now?
I'm not rooting against him. I want to be clear. I'm fairly agnostic because I want to root for him. I do. But then I just saw something like and it's not a big thing, but like after he slid to round 5, he pops on a video and he's like, yo, you know, something like this is Shedeur. And he was humble, like, thank you, Browns. But he throws the word legendary in there. I'm like, you just sat there for basically 2 days,
man. What does
that mean,
legendary?
I don't know. I guess that's how he perceives himself. Yeah, that's the name of it. Like that. So, that's his chain.
So he was just giving his thing a pop there by saying legendary. That's all that he said.
Yeah, but it was more about himself and less about product. That's the way I took it.
Well, that's probably a problem.
It's more about
himself. I am rooting more for him now. I'd like to see the story that he goes there and turns the Browns around. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it would be a fun story, especially after the prank call. And by the way, just a side note
that's
on that.
That's brutal, yeah.
Is anybody surprised that Jeff Ulbrich couldn't even hold his own son accountable?
How old is his son?
I don't know. What is 18, 20?
Is he that old? I mean, that matters. I mean, if he's 11.
College kid. No, I thought he was a college kid.
I thought he was too, but I'm not 100% sure.
But I mean, we saw Ulbrich be the worst interim head coach that I've ever seen in my life. Couldn't hold anybody accountable. And now you see his son go out there. And I don't even know if I buy the whole story. You think he left his computer open to a point where his son's going to go in there and be like, oh, here's Shedeur Sanders number. I'm going to take it and give it to somebody to prank call this guy?
Maybe the son or maybe the dad did not. Or maybe the son found out the code. Maybe he had it locked up and he just banged his way in. I don't know.
I still think that that's a horrible parenting job. Like, dude, would you? And I know you push the envelope much more than I would, but something like that.
Wait, what do you mean push the envelope? You said I push the envelope more than you.
I think so.
In terms of what?
I just don't know, like bending the rules and stuff. I was usually, but well,
what?
Well, yeah, I mean,
you talking about like missing school to go to a World Series game, like stuff like that.
No, I thought you said like you would say like coming home maybe later than.
Oh, when I was a kid.
Yes.
Oh God, yeah. I thought you meant as a dad.
No. When you were a kid. With your
rules,
dad.
What rules?
Yeah, I was trying to be mild.
I was terrified of my dad, but if I could circumvent a rule, it was circumvented.
Correct. Now, I was terrified of my father, and I went by the rules.
yeah,
I didn't want to find out.
Yeah, no.
Something to that extent, He would.
I would never do that. I wouldn't. There are things that are just like, okay, you know what Sal's talking about. Again, it's all you know based on when you were born or whatever the culture. Yeah. You know, growing up in the 80s and early 90s in Brooklyn, you know, half Irish, you just drank. I mean, way before 21, it's the way it was. I mean, you know, Flatbush, Rockaway, Bay Ridge, that's what you did. You sat in a park and you hammered back beers. And, you know, who knows what you did after that. Probably wasn't that smart either, I could recollect. But there were certain things I remember. And I got this from my mom. The fear was from my dad, but I did not want to disappoint my mom.
Right.
And, like, I remember probably sixth grade, a couple of my buddies were smoking a cigarette. Sixth grade, dude. And I remember we were in an alley in Brooklyn, and like I didn't do it. Number one, I was an athlete, but they all were. I didn't want to disappoint my mom, and I didn't do it.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not saying I never did it after that, but like I've always had this moral compass for my mom. My dad, I was too scared to try something like Ulbricht's son did. Like, if he did
but that. But that's a moral compass thing. I like that word that you use. That's what I'm saying, like, across the line of just the rules. Like, hey, no drinking or whatever other rules you want to instill.
Uh-huh.
This is different.
Yes, it is.
You know.
It's a breach of trust.
Yes.
Yep.
That is a horrible look for Ulbricht.
Yes.
His family, his kid, and a really a sad thing to mess with Shador Sanders.
I agree with
that. And I guess there were others that were going on too, but...
Are you serious?
That? Well, didn't you see that, Hoff? Was that not a report out there that it happened to... I thought it was Ty Warren as well, but there were other people, kids who were getting drafted that were also pranked. I saw that somewhere as well. I didn't look into the details of it all or find out what was behind that, but
idiots.
Either way, it's a sad thing. All right,
I'm rooting for more than I'm not, just to wrap it up with Shador. Rooting for him more than I'm not... I am. I'm definitely not rooting against him. I don't love the way he acts sometimes, like some of the as a quarterback, but I think he's a good kid fundamentally, and I definitely don't want to see him have a rough time unnecessarily.
Anthony's in Old Bridge, New Jersey. What's up, Ant?
Hey, Ant.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for letting me get on. Real quick, I mean, I called you guys a lot with the draft. I was in favor of Shador. Obviously, things changed up into the draft. I personally think something behind closed doors just happened that just turned off the Giants and many other teams to draft him as early or draft him period. So it's a shame. I wish the kid to still do well, but you know, onto the Giants and what they're doing. So love the Carter pick. I love the fact that he got back into round one. I know BT, you were a little, questioning the amount of snaps and reps Jackson Dart was going to get. Sal, you kind of touched on it though. I mean, I think the Giants by all costs, they're not going to put the kid on the field if he's not ready. And I'm all in favor of that because you don't want to rush him, you know, have him play like Anthony Richardson, Zach Wilson, a list of guys who just aren't ready. And then I know there were some people who were disappointed. They said, oh, Dart could have dropped. One, you don't know that. But two, given the Giants' plan, because this is for the first time in a few years they have a legitimate plan, you need that extra year. You need that fifth-year option. So it made all the sense in the world if you love them to go up and get him, which they did. So I have no issues with it. Again, preferred Sanders, but everything on Dart looks like it's going to head in the right direction. Dable seems happy. And then the truth of the matter is, though, is from a whole team standpoint, I know some people don't think they're going to be great. This team's going to be a lot better. And then from a competence standpoint, the quarterbacks, you know, we've had six different starting quarterbacks the past 2 years. Now, we're all spoiled because Eli never missed games, but you needed this, you know, because what if Russell Wilson gets hurt week one and you have Winston? Who's the backup? Is it DeVito?
Yeah, but the problem is, Ann, and thank you for the call, a lot of good stuff in there. The problem is those guys, at least from where I'm sitting, are not that good. And it's not just me. Am I supposed to trust Brian Dable to make more of Russell Wilson than Sean Payton in Denver? I mean, there's a reason why Denver moved on from Russell Wilson. And by the way, they got better.
And Pittsburgh.
They
wanted Justin Fields more than they wanted Russell Wilson back.
At least I could say, let's go pound for pound, offensive mind versus offensive mind. Sean Payton moved on from Russell Wilson, benched him, kind of embarrassed him there in Denver, drafted Bo Nix when nobody thought that he should or would, turned him into a postseason quarterback in year one.
He did.
Brian Dable is an offensive mind known for turning around quarterbacks. I'll leave Pittsburgh out of it, although, yes, they would be in my argument because I think Tomlin is better than Dable, but he's a defensive-minded coach. They had some success, but they didn't want him back. So think about that. So now I'm supposed to believe that he's going to be great, but either way, they're going to have to go out there and win. The other important part of that, we didn't touch on this, you probably did Friday, was that I don't know why the Giants were getting ridiculed for trading back up. They were playing a game of chicken to begin with. If they identified that Dart was the guy that they wanted, I respect them more for not sitting back waiting and saying, well, if he's off the board, then we'll just take Tyler Shuck. Or maybe whoever the other. No, you wanted Dart. Now's the time to go up and get him. So I have no problem with them trading up to go make that move.
That was the time to be proactive there. And, you know, now, listen, you've got to have an immediate reaction to what they do. But the answer is not coming out in the wash for, I mean, at least a year, probably more than that. And we'll see if both of these men, Shane and Dable, are around to see the fruits of their moves. I mean, again, we all want to declare, oh, Giants, and there are grades, and we'll mess around with that coming up next at some point. I know Hop's got some grades from the draft, and we'll do a little bit of a dive with that.
We'll do that at 12:20.
Sounds good. All right, because we got the King coming up, so we'll do that at 12:20. But it's impossible, as much as we do and as much as we want to and continue to do it, you can't attach a definitive grade to what any team did because you just don't know. You don't know today. You don't know next week. You don't know next month. Next year, you might have a sense. And 2 years after that, you should know. But this is going to be baking in the oven for a while. And it's going to be interesting to see what when they open up the oven, when they pull it out, what it looks like. It could be, honestly, it could be the franchise-altering night for the Giants.
Amazon delivery, or we got lawn people today at the house?
It is not Thursday. They're not cutting the grass. Maybe that could be my wife just kind of leaving.
You're keeping monitoring what's going on.
No. Yeah, right, exactly. No, I've got anytime somebody comes up to the front steps, the back steps, any step, any door, whatever, we got the ring.
BT and Sal, all the Fed, 888-808-1019. Come back, reset. Hey, where are the Nick calls at? All you passionate, fiery Nick fans after that performance? I mean, we've heard more from Giant fans on the draft. We'll get to the Jets aspect of it, too, coming up, BT. A lot to get to here. Reset, down with the King topic of the day when we come back, 888-808-1019.